alerting us to enemy strongholds. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
Strongholds are whatever the enemy's trying to do with you, trying to do to you. He'll try to get a toehold and then a foothold, and then what does he do? Once you get really into it, he gets a stronghold. And it might be pornography, it might be drinking, it could be a number of different things. But that's the stronghold of the enemy. How do you break that? By the Word of God.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
An entrenched enemy is not easily defeated. We need to stay alert to the slightest advancement and not give any ground. Today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson will help us with that. We'll find that as we continue in 2 Chronicles. Picking up in chapter 23, we'll hear of an entrenched enemy, a usurper, and the preparations necessary to dislodge this enemy. Won't you join us? With today's broadcast, once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
Review to catch up. In chapter 22, Athaliah usurps the throne. She comes in, it's not her throne, it's to be the throne of David. She comes in, she usurps the throne, and to make sure that she's going to be the queen and she's going to last a long time, she wipes out David's lineage, killed everyone that had anything to do with David. But there was a little baby that got away from the whole slaughter. And that little baby was taken by the priest, and the priest at that time was Jehoiada, and his wife, Jehoshabath, was mightily used of the Lord to take the baby and hide him, and they ran off with the baby to save him from this evil, wicked queen. So that's the story up to where we're at. And she thought the lineage was wiped out. When we were singing that song tonight, "You Won't Forsake Me," it's just God. God says to the children of Israel, "I am raising up David. And through David, King David, would come the Messiah. I will not forsake you. I am sovereign. I am always good. And what I said in my word will be fulfilled. No matter who gets involved, no matter how it takes place, I am going to fulfill my promise, my covenant towards you." Isn't that awesome? God is so, you know, right on. And so we see that here in chapter 23. As, first of all, God has removed these guys that were in the way through this pilgrimage going through Chronicles. Asa, we know, he got infected in his feet, and he went to the doctors to get help. And then what he did, was real bad, because what he didn't seek the Lord. And because he didn't seek the Lord, and what gets me is that the next sentence there is, he died. There's something about having the Lord and the doctor working together on you for different things. You don't forsake one or the other. You go to both. But you give the Lord a chance. You know, you go and you go to men's prayer meeting. You get prayed for. You get to have the men anoint you with oil and pray for you. Saturday, 8 o'clock, right over here at the classroom by the chapel store. Every Saturday, 8 o'clock, they pray for those that are sick. There's a line out there, a small line. And then they, after they get done praying for the sick, you go, and then they go to men's prayer meeting and start praying. So what a blessing. But Asa didn't do that, and he died. So he's removed out of the scene. He was a bad guy to begin with. And then we saw also that the next one removed was Jehoram. Jehoram was an evil king. He did bad also. He followed after, you know, his dad, and his dad was ungodly. His dad was into worship all kinds of different idols. And so what happened to him? Well, you turn the page to 2 Chronicles 21 in verse 19. Well, verse 18 says, "And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease, and it came to pass the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, and he died of sore diseases." Man, what a way to go. That's got to be the worst. And yet that's how he died. So God removed him. And then Ahaziah. Ahaziah was there in the end of chapter 22. And Ahaziah, it says that he also died, and they killed him. They just removed him. And he was an evil guy. He did evil things. So it says that in verse 8 of chapter 22, it came to pass that when Jehu was executing judgment, God used this man to execute judgment on him upon the house of Ahab. Remember Ahab, that evil Jew that hooked up with the wickedest woman in the Bible, Jezebel. And so the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. So Jehu just went through and wiped them all out, his court and him also. So these guys have been removed. There's been three, or actually two revivals so far. And now this is the third revival for the southern kingdom, Judah. And this is chapter 23. This is not as widespread as the other two revivals, but it's a good revival, and it's under Jehoiada, and he's the one that's bringing it together. Notice that this baby was hidden for 6 years in verse 12 of chapter 22. So for 6 years, this wicked witch ruled and reigned. It's not even her throne. She took it over by killing people. And then it says in verse 1 of chapter 23, "And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds." So he binded these guys together. And remember that scripture, Psalm 133 in verse 1, it says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, he got these guys together, and this is the seventh year now that this child has been hidden in the temple. Stuck away, where when the temple kids would go out and play, this kid would go out and play with them, but always behind the temple, always in the temple. Now this wicked witch, Athaliah, she had her own little worship place. She worshiped Baal, we're going to learn. So she was hardly ever around the temple. She didn't go into the temple. So it was a great place to hide this baby, growing up, now 7 years old. So notice in verse 2, "And they went about in Judah and gathered." Now here's the plan. "They went ahead, gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah. So they called all the holy men together and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem." There is a plan. It's a coup, okay? And Jehoiada is the one that comes up with it. And he says, "We got to get together and we got to make this kid king, because it's his rightful place. He's the last seed of David." And all, verse 3, "the congregation made a covenant with the king." They promised, "We're not going to tell anybody. We're going to gather together, and we're going to do this together. And in the house of God, and he said unto them, 'Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David.'" And so the light of David. Remember, it talks about that the light will never go out. That's God's promise. That's his covenant. This light will burn all the way through ages and continue on and on and on. Verse 4, the plan is this. "This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you will enter in on the Sabbath of the priests. So it's a busy day, the Sabbath. Everybody's going to be doing their certain things they have to do on that holy day. So it's going to be a very hectic day around the temple. It's perfect planning. And it says that of the priests and the Levites, they're going to come together. They shall be the porters of the doors, and they're just going to come and stand by the doors as they usually do, and as they did during the Sabbath, and everybody's going to stand around. So this is kind of a secret thing going on that they're putting together. Over in Psalm 84, verse 10, let me read it to you. It kind of goes along with this. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so here we have these doorkeepers, and they're just standing there. There's a coup. They're planning this very precisely. Verse 5, and a third part, and this is the plan, shall be at the king's house. So where Athaliah is, they're going to send over a part to kind of guard her during this period of time, to let her feel safe what's going on, that this is business as usual. So they'll go to the king's house. And a third part of the gate will be at the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. So it's a, like I said, it's a busy thing. And number one, verse 6, but let none come into the house of the Lord. You're not going into the temple, save the priests. They're the only ones allowed. And they that minister of the Levites, they shall go in, for it says they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. So we're going to do things decent and in order like we always do. And he set it up. Over in Psalm 24, verse 3, it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, into the holy place? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So they called the priests and the Levites. They were holy men of God to come and to stand there and prepare the Sabbath. Verse 7. The second thing, and the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons. They're all having their weapons probably underneath their robe, and they're all just kind of standing there with their weapons in their hands. And whosoever else comes into the house, he shall be put to death. So don't let anybody come in here when the king is here, but be ye with the king when he comes in and when he goes out. So you guys are the guards, guard them well. And it's interesting, David's the one that bought the land where the temple is. David didn't build it, he gathered the materials. But David is the one that gathered everything. And when he conquered the enemy, he took all of their swords, all of their shields. He took everything from his enemies and he stored them there in the temple. So they had huge arsenals in there. I mean, just you'd open the doors and there'd be all these weapons. And so these guys are using weapons that David won in battles. So David's really a big part of this, seeing this seed continue. And it's just God's plan. It's just incredible. Verse 8, so the Levites and all of Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. This guy, God just gave him the plan, gave him the wisdom, and he put it together. And he took every man, his men, that were to come in on the Sabbath, with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. So everything's business as usual. Everybody's doing their thing. Moreover, it says, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears, bucklers, and shields that had been King David's. So he's right in the middle of it, which were in the house of God. Everything's set up. They've got the weapons. You know, it's interesting that We are the temple of the Lord. And we're, I believe, to display our victories. What do you mean? Well, we're to share our testimony. Like that brother did, you know, there in Israel. He shared it. He was honest. And he got totally delivered. I know he's a new man in Christ. And many of us have had victories in our Christian walk. Don't hold it. Share it. Share what God has done for you. It's important that people hear our testimony. And that's kind of like the victories. Here we are, walking temples of God, and we're displaying those victories. Look what God's done for me. God's been good. God healed me. God this, God that. You know, that's incredible. So we need to start sharing these things. And he said, all the people, notice, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, long by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. So everyone was surrounding this little boy and protecting him with weapons. Over in Nehemiah, there's an interesting quote about weapons in verse 17 of chapter 4 of Nehemiah. And they which build it on the wall, and they which bore burdens with those that laid it, every one with his hands wrought the work. So they have a trowel in one hand, and with the other hand, they had a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, so they builded. And he sounded the trumpet was by me. So, interesting, they had, you know, a trowel in one hand, you do the work of the Lord, and yet you have your sword in the other hand. You're always aware of the enemy trying to do things. So the sword is what? This. This is the sword of the Spirit. We always have our Bibles. We always are getting into them, marking them, knowing them. You got to know your weapon, man. If you don't know your weapon, you're not going to be able to use it skillfully. We have to be able to use this weapon skillfully. That means it is written, Satan, because he's going to come down. He's going to lay a trip on you. How are you going to come back? What are you going to say when he lies to you? Oh, wow, I'm bummed. What else? Oh, you're kidding. And he's feeding you. He's feeding you. And you're not standing up against it. You're saying nothing. You are listening to lies. When you could use the sword, quote the scripture, and it is written, Satan, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Get thee behind me, Satan, and in the name of the Lord. I mean, we can't confront our enemy right on, but we can say, in the name of the Lord. And that's what takes care of him. It silences him every single time. So the word is heavy. Listen to this over in Ephesians chapter 6, and you guys know this. This is the chapter on warfare. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the willies or the lies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's one other scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are whatever the enemy's trying to do with you and trying to do to you. He'll try to get a toehold and then a foothold, and then what does he do? Once you get really into it, he gets a stronghold. And it might be pornography, it might be drinking, it could be a number of different things. But that's the stronghold of the enemy. How do you break that? By the word of God. Powerful to wipe out the enemy. I love it. Verse 11. Then they brought out the king's son. Okay, 7 years old. We know that in chapter 24, verse 1, it says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. That's a pretty young king, isn't it? little 7-year-old on the throne.
Wow.
And so they brought out the king's son, the one that got hidden away in the temple, the one that God says, this is David's seed. He's going to live. This the whole thing is not going to stop here. It's going to continue on until that seed of David brings forth Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. The Messiah is to come through David's lineage. Satan knew that all the time, always trying to wipe out the Jews, right? Herod, there in Bethlehem, trying to wipe out the children, trying to do away with this coming Messiah. I mean, constantly going on through the scriptures. But this is his coronation day. This is that little boy's anointing day. Notice verse 11, and they brought out the king's son, put upon him the crown, the diadem, and placed it on his head, and gave him the testimony, gave him the scriptures. The scriptures is what he was to go by. The scriptures is how he was to rule the people, by the word of God, not by his own, not by his own power, his own might. He was to follow everything that God has said. So they gave him the scripture, and they gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him with oil. They had an anointing of oil, the anointing of the power of God to come upon this little child's life. And then everybody said, God save the king, or the king will live. This is God. This is a God thing. That evil woman, she's going to get hers. But the king, God's word is going to be fulfilled. Interesting. The enemy will die. Now, Athaliah, and remember, she's Jezebel's daughter. Isn't she sweet? She's the second hated woman in the Bible. The first one is her mom. The most wickedest woman in the Bible. And this is the second one. Now, when Athaliah heard, I mean, she hears this noise. She hears this excitement. I mean, these guys can't do this quietly. They got the diadem on this kid. They got him on the throne. I mean, people are starting to come around. They're starting to sing. They're starting to shout. And all of a sudden, she's over here in her palace, and she's hearing this stuff. She's going, what's going on? And she comes, the people are running and praising the king and saying, you know, praise be to the king. He's alive. And she came to the people into the house of the Lord. You know, she thought for sure she had slaughtered all of David's lineage. She thought for sure that she was queen forever. She was going to last and last and last. But that's not true, because God has always got his remnant, doesn't he? God has always got his people. God raises up. His program will go on no matter what our enemy tries to do.
What an encouraging word there from Pastor Jeff Johnson. God always has and keeps his people. Trust you're one of them, and that you join us again next time for more sound doctrine. Today's message is called God's Justice and part of our series in 2 Chronicles. If you enjoyed today's message, you can hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org and then share it with a friend. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5. Our phone number is 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. Well, you know, parenting sure is challenging these days, as if I had to tell you. But you know, God has all of the help we need in His Word. And today, we would like to offer you a very helpful 4-part teaching series from Pastor Jeff on parent-child relationships. You will learn how to apply sound doctrine to your parenting as Pastor Jeff takes you through Ephesians chapter 6. It is available on a thumb drive or as a CD set, whichever you prefer. You can order online at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us. Again, that number is 800-353-7553. And please, would you remember us in your prayers and giving to the Lord? It does make a difference. We're constantly hearing of men and women that are growing and benefiting through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And you're helping to make that possible with a financial gift today. Again, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. We'll return to 2 Chronicles next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. It's a radio ministry presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,